All right, we will get started here. Welcome to Theology on Tap. Thank you all for coming. This is a great turnout. There's also some more empty seats up here at this the middle table and down here at the right here if you need to find a seat for those trickling in. So, but yeah, again, welcome to Theology on Tap. We are super glad to have you here. I'm Alec. This is my fifth planning team. I really love this event, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this planning team, and I guess I didn't do such a bad job last time emceeing that John asked me back. He's filming me right there, as he shouldn't be. But this event is a true joy in my life, and maybe at the end I'll share a little bit about why it is. Again, I used to work in higher ed here at the university, and specifically here at USF. Is there any USF alum here or students here? Woo! I love that. Thank you. Go Cougs! So again, and thank you to the Alumni Association. Fun fact, so those alumni and students here, the Alumni Association sponsored our bar fees. So those alumni dollars and the amount of money you spend here is going to good use, right? Awesome. Again, one of my true passions, I'm no longer in higher ed, but one of my true passions is relationship building. And it's really the core of what I try to do, what I try to bring into my work and my current profession and in my personal life. Volunteering and ministry here today. So again, I'm hopefully that we can bring you all closer in deep relationship with each other, as well as a deep relationship with Christ throughout this series. If you haven't done so yet, there's a QR code in your table to check in. I know our fine planning team at the front desk checked you in, but if you haven't done so, please do that, as well as you will find information on that QR code about the menus, the menu, as well as the discussion questions that we'll have throughout the night. And just as an FYI, if you have not gotten your fill with food, the bar will go till 9, but the food will be pulled at 7:30. I will not be insulted, as I'm long-winded here, that you get up, get a drink, get some food, and continue to be well-fed. That's the goal here. Thank you again for Campus Ministry and the Diocese of Fort Wayne for sponsoring the food. They've been so generous and gracious with us of putting on a wonderful event and keeping us here. Our series theme, as you may have read on the website or have drew you here, is Discovering God's Image. This was chosen amongst the young adult planning team who worked together for the past few months to plan this series. Throughout the next week, our speakers will unpack the ways that we understand what it means to be made in God's image and likeness, and how this calls to live our daily lives and work in relationships and everything. If we could take a moment real fast to silence ourselves and open our hearts to the minds of the Holy Spirit. Our team chose St. Josephine Bakita, who is the patron saint of this series, and she was able to see God's image and work in her life, even amongst very challenging circumstances. As you'll read in the prayer card, St. Josephine Bakita, she suffered incredible hardships as a child and was kidnapped at the age of 8 and sold into slavery. When asked later in life about how she would respond to those who tortured her, she replied, "If I was met to meet those slave raiders that abducted me and tortured me, I'd kneel down to them to kiss their hands." Again, you can read more about St. Josephine on the back of your side of your prayer card and why we chose her. I won't be long-winded and go through the whole prayer card. But again, I would like to ask us all to join in praying our opening prayer found on the tables or on the sign-in website webpage if you scan that QR code. So if you will all join together in prayer with me. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Minister to us in this time of fellowship and learning, and let us have a deeper encounter with you. O Lord, fill us with your Spirit and teach us your ways. We especially ask for the intercession of our patron, St. Josephine Bakita, who in her example and life teaches us to discover God's image in the midst of our work, struggles, relationships, triumphs, and our lives. Teach us the dignity of the human person and the beauty of our lives. Amen. Thank you all for praying that with me. So again, enough of me talking. I actually do not like this, unbeknownst to you all. I am very uncomfortable being up here, and John loves to put me outside of my comfort zone. And this time I did volunteer, so I am challenging myself tonight as well. So again, tonight's series is a little different than usual. We usually do a speaker who will talk on a specific topic that we have chosen and has come really well prepared with a robust topic. This time we've changed it up with you. We've invited four wonderful panelists, wonderful guests here, who I will introduce shortly. And our topic tonight is the dignity of work and how the human person reflects the creator through their work. So this will be a Q&A style, and we really care about what you all have to say, your questions. We will not be doing Q&A after the speaker, as traditionally we do. I want to hear through you during. So I will be receiving all your questions on my phone here. So keep it appropriate, by the way. We'll ask some questions of our speakers, and if you want to challenge them as well as we continue on. So, but I have a list here that we can also sample. But again, I would love to have you ask some questions and the nature of the work, and by scanning that QR code. So I will introduce our panelists. First off, I will start with my friend Kyle Craig down at the end right there. So Kyle Craig, he is the director of youth and young adult ministry at Our Lady of Good Hope. Kyle originally actually got his degree in mechanical engineering at Trine, did a lot of freelance and contract work back in 2017 and started his own businesses, which I think he's still doing to this day, as you were telling me earlier. And currently he felt a strong call to enter his current role, serving as the youth and young adult minister. In his hobbies, his spare times, he coaches and plays soccer, which I did not know that before you told me that earlier. Plays board games and reading. Kyle, can you want to share anything more about yourself and how you got into your current work?
Yeah, I basically last year had an opportunity to kind of change the direction in my life, and I asked God for direction. I had always kind of had a passion for helping young people, and the opportunity came up to come work at Our Lady of Good Hope. I knew Father Daniel Whelan since college, and I was like, hey, what better job than to work with a priest that I know? So ultimately, I ended up getting the position, building it from the ground up, and we're just getting started. So, by the way, I don't know if Alec mentioned, but I was originally not planned to be on the panel tonight. I'm glad I could step in.
I was about to say that. Our original panelist, Corey Hyman, unfortunately fell ill, so keep him in your prayers, please, for us tonight. And Kyle graciously was voluntold that he would be a part of this panel as he was setting up the tables and chairs that you're sitting at currently. So thank you, Kyle, for stepping in. And Kyle's got a wealth of information to share as well. So thank you, Kyle. All right. Next up, Marianne Stroud. Marianne was originally born in Virginia, but spent her childhood all over the world as the daughter of a diplomat. I'm sure you have a lot of stories you can share with that one. She attended the University of Virginia for her undergrad degree in nursing, where she met her husband, Dr. Chris Stroud, who is in attendance tonight. Chris, you want to wave your hand right there? I'll bring a full attention to you. He does not like the center of attention. They were married in 1994, and Marianne completed her graduate degree in nursing midwifery in 1997. She and her husband, Chris, began their working careers and beautiful family of three in southern Georgia, where they lived and worked together for 10 years. In 2005, they moved to Fort Wayne for Chris to pursue health administration, and they joined the Catholic faith in 2006 at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church. Any St. Vincent de Paul folks in the house? Woo, I love that. A few years, a few moves, and a few family decisions brought us back to Fort Wayne in 2011, where Chris returned to clinical practice, and Marianne continued to homeschool their children. In 2014, she returned to clinical practice when they opened a fertility and midwifery care center, a private OBGYN practice. And in 2019, they opened our freestanding birth center, Holy Family Birth Center, which you may all know in the audience. And they just delivered their 600th baby. As Marianne describes, the birth center is her passion, and she spends her free time loving on her five children and three grandchildren. Say, Marianne, are you still a parishioner at St. Vincent's as well?
We've been parishioners. So we were 2006. We came into the church. Then we left for the state for a couple of years. And then we could sort of move anywhere we wanted to in the country as Chris was discerning his work life. And we thought, Fort Wayne, we got to come back to Fort Wayne. Yeah. Catholic Disneyland, that's what we call it.
We were just talking about that. I think Chris was at the table saying, I feel like he's a spokesperson for Fort Wayne. For me, being from South Dakota originally, it is such a strong Catholic community here, and I love that about this place. So thank you for sharing. All right, next up, we have Nick Cooper. Nick Cooper, if I can get my notes here, is a native to Indiana, being born and raised in Shelbyville. He attended Trine. Similarly, I think actually Kyle and Nick, you went to school together, didn't you? Say, I love that. He graduated in 2014 with his bachelor's in science in electrical engineering. Nick later received a master's in electrical engineering from the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 2021. While in college at Trine, he met Michelle, now his wife of 8 years, by participating in Newman Catholic Fellowship groups. They began their family in 2015 and now have 5 young children. They currently reside just outside of Fort Wayne in Columbia City. And Nick is working full-time at Franklin Electric. He enjoys skiing, mountain biking, and spending time outdoors, which he's happy to share time doing all the above with his family and friends. Say, Nick, what parish do you attend as well?
We are parishioners down at St. Elizabeth and Seton on the southwest side of town. So both my wife and I are pretty involved there. If you've ever heard of Fraternus and Fidelis for young adult ministries, or probably more like sixth grade through high school, pretty involved with both of those down at St. Elizabeth.
Awesome. So. Thank you for sharing, Nick. And last but not least, my friend, this is Trisha Koob. Trisha is married to Kyle Koob. Kyle was actually originally going to be a panelist for her, but he was too intimidated by the pressure. And so cracked under the pressure before he could be able to do it. No, he was actually very busy. And I think he got called to work recent commitments. But Kyle and Trisha, they've been married 29 years. They've had 4 children and are recently empty nesters. Trisha is currently a stay-at-home mom, and now with the kids out of the house, she spends her time doing ministry work, teaching swim lessons for SACS schools, and strives to grow every day in her relationship with Jesus. Trisha, you were very humble with your bio here. I know you have so much more.
You said short, so I said short.
You did say short, but can you describe, I know you're involved in much more ministries within St. John's, which is our parish together. Can you share more about what you do at St. John's and what your role is there?
Yeah. Well, Alec and I are on a team together for evangelization at St. John the Baptist on Fairfield. I also am, where's St. John the Baptist? Let me see.
Yeah.
There you go.
St. John table.
I'm also with the new Walking with Moms in Need program there. My husband and I do marriage prep there. And I'm not sure. But we've been very involved. It's a smaller parish than what we were used to, and we've just really loved being over there. I have some outside ministries that I do as well, but that's what we do at St. John the Baptist. Thank you.
Thanks, Trisha, for sharing. All right, just another reminder, if you start having some questions, feel free to scan that QR code and ask some questions. I've got a handful to get us started off and get us a soft entry point, but I'd like to round robin down the line for whoever wants to jump in first. I'll pick on you if you don't volunteer. But can you share more about what day-to-day work looks like for you? Why do you do what you do? And how do you get into the work? This is a softball one. I've got much harder ones to come. So whoever wants to start.
I can go. Okay, Nick's I'll going. Go. So I'm an electrical engineer. I work at Franklin Electric down on the Airport Expressway. My day-to-day job, I'm down in the lab a lot. So we design pumps, motors, and the part that I work on are variable frequency drives, power electronics. So everybody knows what an electric vehicle is, right? You've heard of that? We use the same technology, but we use it to pump water out of the ground. So we provide drinking water for families all over the world, all over the country. That's definitely what motivates me to work in that industry. There's a lot you can do with an electrical engineering degree. But a lot of that stuff turns into material things that are kind of like wasteful and don't necessarily build people up or help you grow closer to God. And I think that the industry that I'm in helps me see that a little bit more easily in the work that I do. Does that answer everything? Cool.
I feel like I get to see the face of Jesus every day in my work. What I do is I deliver babies, so I'm a certified nurse midwife. My husband is an OBGYN, and we're in practice together. We do births at DuPont Hospital and our birth center, Holy Family Birth Center. We have a fertility practice that's in keeping with Catholic Church teaching. So we don't prescribe contraception, but we try and help people find out why they might not be able to conceive a child, or perhaps why they might be losing a child. We often see families that have lost 5 or more children to miscarriage. and they come in absolutely broken, often broken with their marriages and broken with their faith. And our job is to restore that and to give them hope and to help bring them back together to each other and to the Lord and to help them to have a child if that's God's plan for them. So it's the greatest job ever, not to diminish electrical engineering, but spending my days with families that need love and support and prayers, and to be there in the most absolutely joyful moments of people's lives, and then often in the most devastating of moments in people's lives is a true blessing.
Kyle? Sure, why not? So like I mentioned before, I'm director of youth and young adult ministry at Our Lady of Good Hope Catholic Church. And what I do there is I set up events, I communicate, I build community among young adults like all of you guys. On the side, I've always had a passion for entrepreneurship, being able to go out on my own. My degree was in mechanical engineering. So when Nick builds something, I usually blow it up. But as I got to know myself going out into the industry, I just knew that I wasn't going to be the one to continuously follow orders and do what I'm told. I'm going to be on the other side, usually taking lead. And so I've started a couple companies. The first two fell through. The last one that I started, I actually received my patent through it, and it really gives me the opportunity to be completely who I am in Christ, because I am a creator, I'm a leader, and I'm a protector. So, it keeps things interesting, that's for sure.
Question. You're working well. I'm really fortunate because I can just bring my love of Jesus to everybody. I don't have to worry about who's watching or questioning. I also besides St. John the Baptist, I work with a ministry called Young Lives, which is a teen moms mentoring ministry. And we just work with, we walk alongside with moms that are typically in poverty, typically single moms, typically have a lot of trauma. And so I just have the freedom to share Jesus with them, share the gospel with them. And I don't have, they're very receptive of it. So I don't have anything standing in my way, which is really nice.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. As you guys have hopefully seen, we've tried to select, aside from Kyle who jumped in last minute, we really try to select everyone from a different way of life, a different background, to hopefully you can relate a little bit with their story, their profession, what they do, and where they are in their faith life and spiritual walk. For some of you here, a lot of your journey was not a linear path. Some of you are more advanced in your careers. Some of you have just started. Some of you are right there in the mid, as well as some of you in the audience just started or haven't even started your careers yet. Some of the questions I'm receiving here, can you maybe give some advice to those in the audience as they journey through their career path and their search? I know myself that I bounced around different career paths and I landed where I'm currently at, and maybe in 5 years it'll switch again. But Mary Ann, I'm going to pick on you a little bit because you've bounced around quite a bit in different career paths and journey, and you've done a lot of different been a lot of different places and seen a lot of different things. Not saying everyone else here at the panel hasn't, but your bio that you've submitted, I just really want to pick on you a little bit. Can you share more?
I can hack that. That's okay. So I was raised overseas. My father was a diplomat, which I think gave me a unique perspective just on life and what is poverty and what is wealth and what is goodness and what is badness. I came back to the States when I was a teenager and attended University of Virginia, where I met Chris. I've always wanted to be a nurse midwife. My mom was a nurse midwife, and so I started going to births with her when I was 12 and went to several hundred when I was a teenager. It was the world's greatest way to get out of school. So that was a lot of fun. So it gave me a lot of purpose and drive to what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go to school. I think it's the faith journey that's been so up and down. I like to say we were raised very Catholic light. I remember my brother, my twin brother, running away from the nuns at CCD in 1970-something, and then the police had to go after him. So a lot of stuff going on when we were young. Then my parents got divorced and all of that sort of thing. So when I met Chris, he was actually essentially an atheist. Ladies, I would not recommend the path. It has worked out for me in the end. But, you know, marrying somebody who is well outside the faith, he likes to say he was a professional Catholic hater. He has turned around, by the way. But it's been quite the journey. We actually spent 10 years in the Episcopal Church in southern Georgia. And then I think that, you know, if you sort of think of the Catholic light thing, that the Episcopal Church is very much Catholic light, looks like, smells like. It was a high church. They did incense. They wore robes, that sort of thing. And then being able to come into the Catholic Church in 2006 at St. Vincent's was very much a coming home for me and a comfortable place for Chris to be able to enter the church. So I think the journey has been very much up and down. I didn't mention in my bio, but in the middle of all of this, in 2013, 14, 15, 16, we were actually adopting two children from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And it was just as horrific an adoption story as you can imagine. That was our luck to have that story. And there could be nothing to challenge your faith more than losing two children in the middle of Africa and not even sure you're ever going to be able to bring them home. So I think that in my life challenged my faith most directly. And in the middle of that, I was trying to come back to being a midwife after homeschooling my older children for 8 years. So it's been quite the journey. I think the lesson there is that God has a plan for you. And that what you see right now, being young, is certainly 25 years ago, not the path I would have pictured that I took and got to where I am now. I think Chris and I would say we are so incredibly grateful for that twisted, messed up, complicated, expensive journey that we took to be where we are now. There you go.
Awesome. Thank you. Trisha, feel free to give any advice.
Just because, my advice would be don't be afraid of the journey. I mean, it's just not going to be, you guys are all, I look out and I think I was so not where you are right now at this age. And my husband and I, we met at Purdue. We moved after graduation. We were both living in Chicago. I was working for an investment banking firm. He was working for a commodity company. And it was very, void of anything religious or spiritual. It was very much a cutthroat industry. And same thing, I feel like we were kind of feeling like we wanted to have children. We didn't have any family in Chicago, and we were thinking we don't want to live there. And anyway, and we moved back, and it was God's perfect timing. I'm sure if it were a year later, our careers would have been in a situation where we wouldn't have felt like we could afford to move, or we wouldn't have wanted to move. And we weren't going to church at the time. My husband was raised in a, not even Catholic light, like, I don't even know what you call it, kind of Catholic void. But I grew up in a Lutheran church. We went to church, but that was kind of it. So I've just always said God knew better than me than I knew for myself. I just sort of trusted in something bigger than myself, and it just kind of led us here, and it led us into joining the church. And our careers just sort of took off from there. But yeah, don't be afraid. It'll never be that chart, you know? So stay trusting in God and his plan.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. I've got a barrage of questions that just came in. I've got six here. So I'm going to quickly pick on each one of you directly to hopefully get some of you answers. If any of you feel called to share, this one appeals to you, I'll pick on you all directly. But we'll kind of keep going and try to keep them succinct so we can try to get through our best of our questions we can. Nick, I'm starting with you. So my first one is, a lot of these folks are in ministry here or work for a type of Christian organization, If you were able to choose, would you prefer to work for a Catholic or Christian company over a secular one? A Catholic school instead of a public school, for example.
Great question. I would say probably yes, that would be my first choice. It would almost make life a little bit easier, right? It's definitely challenging working for a public company, especially most recently. Our company was kind of unique, and I was drawn to that because it was a little bit smaller, homegrown down in Bluffton, Indiana. Had a very small family feel to it. Over the past 8 years that I've been there, it's definitely changed quite a bit. And the equity, LGBT ideas, right? That's all kind of infiltrating. So those topics and challenges are there every day. But I also find that a little bit motivating, right? It gives me an opportunity to share the faith, maybe not always directly with coworkers, but by the way that I act every day, by the way that I interact with those people, as well as give feedback to HR, right? HR has done some, you know, anonymous surveys and things like that. And I take every opportunity to make sure that our feedback and my views are heard in that as well. Yes, that would be preferable. That would be awesome. And I would love that Catholic community. But at the same time, I think there are advantages to working in a public company that allow us to go out to places that the religious, the priests, the sisters aren't able to go. And one of my favorite saints is Saint Jose Maria Escrivá. And every teaching he has, every writing he has is just awesome, right? It's just really motivating to think about how you can sanctify your daily work in small ways. It's not necessarily large acts, but small ways each and every day. So I enjoy that challenge, and it is a challenge at times, but it is beautiful.
For everyone, whoever wants to answer this and feel called, led to, how do you fit prayer into your work and your family life?
It's a struggle. It is so hard. And, you know, I would love to tell you that I'm perfect and I go to the oratory every day and all the things that you hear about. But my job is busy and crazy, and two children at home and three grandchildren. And every day as I'm driving to work, I think, where am I going to fit prayer into this day? And it's a struggle every single day. So those of you who are struggling, we're all on the same boat. I feel very close to the Lord. We say prayers, we go to Mass every week, all of those pieces to it. But there are certainly huge gaps that I wish that I could fill with the Lord, that I just find very difficult to do that.
I would agree. I just think the world is a very noisy place. And so it's just really easy to, we just had the conversation with the two kids at home about quiet time. My 19 and 20 year old, zero quiet time. I mean, they were honest with me, but it's just too easy to fill the void. So it is intention. And sometimes it's, I struggle as well, but I think it's the matter of calling on God throughout the day. You might not have that 10-minute silent mode, but you will have days where you call on God, or times when you call on God to get through something part of your day. But I mean, we'd all be lying, I think, if we said it was every morning for an hour with incense and all that kind of thing.
Definitely would be lying. Yes. For me, I use the car ride a lot because I'm the same way. I'm not up every morning. I can stay up way later at night than I can get up early most days. So I was really blessed to be able to take my kids to school this past year. Worked out well. And we started a daily prayer, you know, daily morning devotion in the car. And I've continued that. Now it's summertime, not taking them. But I found that to be really peaceful. It just kind of helps small 20 minutes of prayer just set the day on the right path. Other than that, I would say not the best at, you know, a set regular interval.
I don't think it's really fair that I answer this question because prayer is kind of part of my job. But I will say, with running the other business, there are times where, like, I can be completely occupied for the day, but it's devotion and discipline
is what it comes down to when I have something that's going to interrupt my schedule, my peace. So I'm like, okay, well, if I have to leave pretty early in the morning, I'm going to wake up earlier and make sure that I get my rosary and my time in with God in the morning. I pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock. And I actually was driving back from Indy, and my business partner was on the phone, and I'm like, well, this is a perfect time to pray it. So, but at the same time, too, it's easy to get caught up in, oh, well, I get to go to Mass every day, and I get, you know, I have all this time to pray, but then that time passes, and all of a sudden, oh, it's 11 o'clock at night, I should probably go to bed. And if you don't have your relationship with God set straight, then that's not going to help your prayer life at all. You really have to look at Him and say, you know, Jesus, I give you my all. You're my number one. Everybody else comes after that. And once you set that as your foundation, then everything's solid from there.
All right. Well, again, thank you for sharing for kind of your journey and what you do, and yeah, kind of how you bring faith into your work. Again, at the end of the day, hopefully this doesn't sound too bad. We care a little about what you do and more about how your work is not your identity. I know there's some questions here that are asking about how do you express your faith in or through your work, especially when it's not well received.
You mean by your own family?
Oh.
Ouch, sorry.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate with that in the audience, Tricia. So I hope if you don't want to be vulnerable, feel free, but you don't have to be.
It is really hard to get through the clutter of the culture Kool-Aid. And I definitely have family and children drinking it. So trying to live my faith, kind of knowing I'm going against the grain a little bit, or it's prickly, or maybe not well received, but it's graced me in a way that has brought me closer to the Lord and all of that, because I know He's right and I know He's good. And so whatever is on my heart, I just feel to share. I obviously have to balance that. I try to pick my battles when I'm going to speak up against things, but my kids all know where I stand. My family knows where I stand, but it is still a struggle among friend groups and different things sometimes. So I try to be bold without being a mallet. And I mean, I am who I am. And that's just what it boils down to. So if there's something, there's a scripture, I share it. If there's something I heard on Formed or Catholic Radio or whatever, I share that. But it does sometimes fall on deaf ears, or I get no response. And that's just okay. It's just okay. Everyone's on their own journey.
I think the journey is so important to focus on. I remember really not being very Catholic, Episcopalian, and being uncomfortable in saying grace at a restaurant. And if I did it, you know, it was a hidden sort of thing that I felt, I don't know if ashamed is the right word, but I just felt like people were watching me, and this was something that I was uncomfortable with. I'm truly blessed in the environment that I work in now, because we're a Catholic practice. If you're not sure, you can come to the Holy Family Birth Center and check it out. And there's crucifixes all over our office. And one time somebody on Facebook commented that they didn't know we were religious zealots. And so it was really beautiful to see our patients come to our rescue on Facebook and say, was it the crucifixes on the wall that made it confusing to you on what they believe in? So that gives us sort of this safe space. But, you know, we serve a tremendous amount of Amish and other religious groups that I think part of the reason that they choose to come to us for care is because we stand up for something. It may be different from exactly what they believe, but we stand up for something and we say, this is what we believe. And we shout it to the rooftops and we say, you know, come on, bring it on. And, you know, when a woman is pushing a baby out and she is truly struggling, and I say, may I pray over you in between contractions. And I've never yet have somebody say, no, I really don't want that. But yet at the same time, we have some Catholic midwives who have a little less gray hair than I do. And I say, did you pray over them? Did you try and bring the Holy Spirit into the birth room? And they're afraid. They're Marianne 20 years ago who say, well, what if they don't like it? What if it's embarrassing? I don't know the words to say. So I encourage you in your journeys to just do it. Just pray with people, you know, be great evangelicals of Fort Wayne in the Catholic faith and say all the wrong things and touch people. Oh my gosh, touch people. But you will find that you'll only get goodness in return. And it fills my soul. So I think that when I pray with our patients, whether it's a birth or a loss or whatever, that it fills me up, maybe perhaps more than it fills them up.
I'll answer real quick. I actually have a lot of opportunities to spread the faith. I have a lot of friends who are Protestant. I have a lot of friends who are not religious. In my experience, I've been able to take what I've learned and be able to portray the faith in a way that makes sense to them, because I think, I can't remember if it was JP2 that said it, but you can't have someone believe in something against their conscience. And my roommate, who was Protestant, couldn't find the right Protestant church to go to. And eventually, it was because I'd known him for years, I finally just said, you know what? I think you would love being Catholic. And he just joined the church last year. So, thank you. And yeah, in working in my other business, it's highly technological, highly business oriented, but in my one-to-one conversations, that's when I get to dive in and focus on what really matters, because whether it makes money or not, whether I even get to create the device that I want or not, like if I have an opportunity to bring someone in and make them holy, then that's the number one priority. So that's all.
Awesome. Thank you all. Oh, sorry, Nick. There you go. Go for it. Sorry about that. So I guess this is the Dignity of Work panel, and I want to tie a little scripture into this. Obviously, we kind of know work. It's kind of synonymous with toil and hardship. Obviously, God put man on this earth to care for the garden, but after man rejected the gift in the garden, man was left to toil for all his days and lives, as we find in Genesis. Toil is universal. It's a consequence of the fall. Whether we struggle with finding the right work, wrestling with the nature of work, or holding down work, at each point, a person basically has felt the weight of burden. Hopefully, you all came here, and you might have all felt the burden at some point of what do I do? How do I find my calling? So maybe my question, I guess, for you all up here, maybe how do you not make work your identity? Nick, I'll let you go this time.
Okay, I can go first. So I think for me, it's about being disciplined and not overworking, which is something I probably saw my father do as a kid. And I have memories of that, of him not being present. And so I try and be really diligent about keeping to as close to a 40-hour week as possible. And if I do have to work over, for me, I would rather come home, have dinner with the family, spend time with the kids, and then work a little bit later at night. And my wife and I have talked about that, and we're on board with that together, but really trying to maintain that. I would say it's hard because especially if you get invested with a company, you find a drive, you're motivated to do something, you're just kind of excited to work on it over and over and continue there. But it's very important to separate yourself. I've got some coworkers right now who work way too much. I mean, they'll be in the office from 7:30 to 10 o'clock at night. And I'm saying, go home, go find something else to do. You have to separate a little bit, you know, whether you're walking your dog or spending time with your family, praying, hopefully. I don't know what his state in life is exactly, but spending that time outside, spending and growing yourself in your faith, getting invested in your parish. My wife and I are very involved at St. Elizabeth and CNET Fraternus and Fidelis. Now with family life, that's also a balance. You can't be over-involved, right? After our faith in God, our next commitment is family and then work. So keeping that order is important and just constantly reminding yourself of that.
Trisha?
I don't know. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so so it's a little bit different for me. But I do think that just that work-life balance, and for me, I did not work outside the home, but you were talking about overcommitting. One year for Lent, I think our pastor had said, ask your family what you should give up for Lent. And I asked my kids, and they said meetings. So, I mean, it was all for good, but it was all things I was doing through the church, but it was bringing me away from my family. So there is that balance that you think, I'm doing all these good things for God. But I did have to remember sometimes, I mean, I stayed home with my children for a reason, not to be constantly called to do something else. So it's definitely okay to say no. It's okay to pass on things and stay true to what you want. It's really hard. It's just really hard because there's a lot of pressure to put the FaceTime in at work. There's pressure to do things with other families and social time. But it's just okay to say no.
Kyle, I'm going to pick on you. And then Marianne, I've got a specific question that was just asked just for you. So
as an entrepreneur, it's very difficult to not become the face of your company. And that's true for all jobs, whether you're a welder or a plumber, self-employed, focusing on, you know, a new software, whatever it is that you do, it's very difficult to, you know, not whip out that business card. You know, hey, I'm Kyle Craig. I'm with Kyvesis Inc. You should totally hear about what I'm doing. I think it goes back to knowing that I'm a son of God, first of all, and succeed or fail, that will always be true no matter what. And starting off the day with that prayer and meditation as we're supposed to, I think that helps kind of keep that separation of me and who I am in Christ and the job that I perform. The other thing too, because I perform multiple roles, I can't really let myself get caught up in either one because I got to do the work here and then I got to go do the work here. And I think at the end of the day, I also have to think about who, you know, what is my vocation? You know, I'm 30. I'm not getting any younger. At least my knees are saying that. Yeah. But at the same time, like, 30 is the new 20. So keeping in mind who you are in Christ, what your vocation is, because no matter what job you perform, if you go into the religious order or if you go out into the workplace, like, you have to provide for yourself, you have to provide for your family, and sometimes you just have to do what you have to do to scrape by. And there's absolutely no shame in picking up side job, small jobs, doing simple tasks here and there, because at the end of the day, you might get an opportunity through that you wouldn't otherwise. So I'm Kyle Craig, and I'm always going to be Kyle Craig.
I love it. I know we have some folks that are in the medical field that I was chatting with earlier. This question is specifically for Mary Ann. How do you maintain the dignity of the human person while also not letting it consume you when dealing with death as a nurse?
I guess the question is, should you separate that so clearly? I actually had a baby pass away a couple of weeks ago, and I have cried over that child for a couple of weeks now and reached out to that mom and her family and tried my very best to support her. I think it's okay to be brokenhearted about things that happen in the course of the work that you do. I love what I do. I love being able to interact with families. And I think being a midwife is very much a part of my identity. And I think I love that part of my identity. I am also a mom. I am also a grandma. I would love to tell you I have a million hobbies. What I do for my hobby is I run a birth center. And maybe in a few years I'll come up with painting or something, but that's what I do on the side. But death is actually a part of the everyday life that we live, not only out in the world, but inside our practice. We see a lot of miscarriage and loss. And sort of trying to just dive in head first and embrace these families instead of running away. Always the instinct is to run away and I don't have anything to say. I'm afraid. Can I get out of the room fast enough and get this family out of the office fast enough so that I don't have to think about them anymore? I'm so glad to say I work in an environment that allows me to really just be present. Just be present with these families and love them through these really hard times. It's okay to go home sad. I had a hard day. I had a hard patient. You know, my son and daughter who they're 14, and so they'll say, well, Mas doesn't say much, but Alima will say, how was the day, Mom? Did you have anything big happen today? And she'll even say, did anybody die today because of the losses that we come in contact with? And that, what a great opportunity to teach her and say, you know, life is precious. So every single child of God that is conceived is a child of God, no matter how many days or weeks or hours that they live. And to be able to teach that to a 14-year-old, that this is the greatest blessing that we can have. We have four grandchildren in heaven, three on earth, four grandchildren in heaven. And I think that's very hard for patients to hear when we talk about death, and we can say, I actually do understand where you're coming from, because they think that you're just saying those words, but the sadness that comes inside of our own family makes it real. And so I think sometimes it's okay to just grab on and fight and say that hurt and death and sorrow and life and all of these things can be hard. Grab on and hold on for dear life and bring the people with you that are special to you and keep them with you so that your marriages stay strong and your friendships stay strong in the hard times that you might face.
Thank you, Marianne. Nick, can you give some practical advice for how to represent Christ and Catholicism in the workplace to coworkers who aren't believers? In our conversations with them, how we find the balance between truth and charity in this secular cancel culture? Want me to repeat that? I can. It's a lot.
There was a lot there. I don't know if I have a perfect answer or example for this, but one way I do, this most simple thing, I have a crucifix at my desk, right? So those that come by can see that very visible sign, right, of my Catholic identity. Secondly, I would say it probably comes in the way that I interact with them. I think building a rapport, building a relationship with your coworkers is important. You're going to spend a lot of time with them, whether you like it or not, right? So getting to know them is that foundation. I probably wouldn't gate or lead with something that's counteracting what they have to say, right? Build that relationship with them first, kind of learn how to navigate that stream. One example I can think of, we have a coworker, female coworker, who does not like us to use man hours or anything that's related to that generic idea of man, right? But we know that God created man as male and female, right? That man has a generic purpose. So trying to counteract that and share what I believe at some points has come up with her and with others around me. Say, well, we don't really have to use person hours or person work or things like that. It's man, that's a generic term as God created us. So I don't know if that answers specifically enough, but I would say build that relationship first, and then you can have some of those deeper conversations with them.
If anyone wants to add or feel called to, feel free as well. Awesome. For the moms on the panel here, I'll start with you, Tricia. How do you find dignity in being a mother?
I love being a mom. It is my greatest thing. My greatest joy in my life is being a mom. And I think I found who I truly was in my life and who I was called to be by being a mom. So I didn't have a lot of direction until that point of my life. And just slowly giving my heart to God and just the ups and downs of being a mom. And it's just really hard sometimes. But I just really found out in my motherhood, that is how I found my dignity and worth and who I was as a child of God and what my call on this life was to do.
Becoming a mom is actually what brought us back to the faith. So I was humungo pregnant 9 months with our first when Chris and I decided that we would start going back to church together. And I think there's something about that beautiful life inside you that's coming into the family that you think, wow, I've been messing around long enough. Now I'm going to bring this child into a secular home and God is not going to be present here. Does that sound right to my ears? Is that the way I had pictured my married and mothering life? And so that's actually, it would be weeks before Ian was born was the first time we had gone to church in several years. And so mothering is by far the greatest gift that could ever happen to anyone. And it is such a great blessing and an honor to be a mother. And we have 3 older children that have the grandchildren, and only by the grace of God are they all still Catholic. So we're breaking every statistic so far, knock on wood. So far, 3 out of 3 remaining active practicing Catholics and also married very young. And so some of you are already older than they are when they were married at 21 and 21 and 22 and having children. And that is a calling in and of itself to say, I feel like God is telling Chris and I that somewhere or another by the Holy Spirit's strength, we did the right thing because they are choosing a family and they are choosing to be mothers and fathers young and inside the Catholic faith. So it's a great thing to watch your own children to sort of reflect back on your own parenting.
Awesome. I've got a lot more questions here, and I really hope we try to get through them all. But in about 15 minutes, we're going to probably wrap up and then head into some small group discussion. But the fun's not over. So if you feel like you're in the hot seat right now, because you are. So, all right, a couple more here. These 2 questions that kind of came in back to back that have some similarities between them. So I'll read the first one, and then I'll read the second one as well. And then whoever wants to bite first. How do you find a job that is meaningful but also pays the bills? And is it immoral to work for a corporation like Amazon that goes against your beliefs? Who wants to start?
I guess I'll start. All right. As far as finding a job that is meaningful, first you have to know who you are, who God is calling you to be. At that point, any job that kind of fits that, and you can go in there and be who God called you to be, no matter how much money you make, I think that's meaningful. Now, depending on your vocation, the situation of life that you're in, If you're single, like I am, there's a little bit more flexibility in how much money you can make. It also depends on where you're living. If you're obviously married with kids, the first thing on your mind should be, I need to provide. And so a meaningful job to you could be, you know, working a manager or shift position at a company. And as far as working for a company like Amazon that promotes values that go against your beliefs, sometimes a job is a job. Not gonna lie. I think we're getting to a point in our culture where a lot of those companies that have the jobs available are going to promote values that you don't like. So I don't think it's unethical to work for those companies, because at the end of the day, you are still doing your job as a provider, and you still have an opportunity to go and spread the faith. You know, you'd mentioned earlier, would you rather work for a Catholic or Christian company or a secular company? I'm like, I'll take either, because I know I can take a secular company and make it Catholic. Why not? But yeah, know yourself first and don't be afraid to try something new. I only volunteered as a youth minister for 4 years up in Angola before I took this position, and it turned out to be a lot different than I thought, but there are a lot of people that are willing to help you along the way. So just be open to the Holy Spirit, and because God has your best interest in mind. So really just, it all goes back to listening to him and putting him first.
If I could just tag team on that about like Amazon, we struggle on where can we shop? Well, we really can't shop anywhere because you're going to be supporting something you don't want to support. But we can't forget that Jesus dined with sinners and we're all sinners. And so kind of to your point about working in these companies, you don't have to be called to go to a pride parade, for say, in a company or something like that. There's definitely going to be boundaries that you don't have to cross. But I mean, we're of this world, whether we like it or not. And this, we just can't be quiet. We can't be afraid and we can't be quiet. But we also have to listen. We also have to build the relationships. And you can't do that by going to your corners. So I'm with you with a job as a job. Sometimes, I mean, you definitely have to place your boundaries where you need to have your boundaries for your faith life, but we just can't be afraid of who we are and take the job and change someone's life by your witness.
Awesome. Thank you all for sharing. This individual has a family business making eyeglass lenses. As someone whose job is literally to help others to see, what are some ways we can help others to see the truth of Christ and the truth of being made in God's image through our careers?
I think to take a leaf out of Kyle's book here, know yourself, be true to yourself, right? Be who God's called you to be, whether you're at home or whether you're at work. I know one of the most fun and challenging things for me is telling coworkers that I have 5 kids, right? They're like, what? How old are you? And that's being who I am, right? That's a great conversation starter for somebody to talk about your faith and what you believe and the dignity of life. So just be who you are, no matter where you're at. Don't be a different person if you're out with your buddies. Don't be a different person if you're with coworkers. Try and stay true to yourself wherever you are, and I think that will help.
And if that doesn't work, then Nick and I can design some glasses that could literally help them see. That
I love it. Awesome. Oh man, there's so many here. So we got 5 more minutes left here, and we're gonna try to get through these all. Hopefully our panelists afterwards will be open to if anyone wants to stick around for a little bit. Maybe a few people want to individually come up to y'all and be willing to, or join the small group table discussion. That'd be awesome as well. There's a lot of talk here so far about kind of work-life balance. How can we, and we've danced around this quite a bit, talking about practical reasons. How can we move closer to maybe a work-life integration and ordered industries and life missions? Hopefully I was getting to the point of that question. I am kind of unsure about ordered industries and life missions. Yeah, I'll repeat it one more time. Or maybe the person who feels brave enough to step forward and wants to share it. There's a lot of talk on work-life balance on this panel, but how can we move closer to a work-life integration in our industries and our life missions? Unless I am, this is autocorrect and it sent to me. Okay. Do you want to get to the point, Peter?
I mean, I would say exactly that this idea that you can completely separate your work life from your home life, I don't know that that's possible, particularly if you like what you do. And I hope and I pray that you guys will wander your way down the path and find a place that you want to work, that you love what you do, whether it's Catholic or not or whatever it is, so that you enjoy the hours that you are at work, and then you come home and you're the best of you at home because those hours at work had goodness to them. Whether you were able to evangelize that day or not, it doesn't really matter day by day, but there is real goodness in work. I stayed home 8 years and homeschooled my children. That was the greatest work that I could give. And I think it bears fruit. And now I'm back in the workplace, still with children at home. And I think our little ones seem to be fine. They don't act like they've been abandoned by their mom or anything. And to say that I have to draw a line when I enter the driveway and I'm not allowed to blend those two things. Like I said earlier, if I have a hard day, isn't it that okay for my young children to see, gosh, your mom could use a hug. She had a hard day. Or mom had a great day. Hey, what happened, mom? What happened at work? So I think that there's a lot of beauty in being able to blend both of those worlds with a little bit of balance. But those are tough words, especially to say to a man. We can all be sexist here, right? You guys are working hard. And that idea that you cannot work more than 40 hours a week, 40.5 hours, you clearly don't love your children. I just have a hard time with that now. I'm married to a man who works very, very hard. And that is part of how our life is managed. In our practice, we have 7 female providers, physicians, and nurse midwives, and almost all of their husbands are stay-home dads. So marry wisely, choose wisely, think ahead on what it is that your life is going to look like. And those men support the women in our practice so beautifully and take great care of the children along with the women in the practice. So I think that wall we should be careful about putting up that wall.
Is there any tips for discernment or finding a job? I know there's a handful of college students in here and those that are either in transition of jobs or trying to find their first job or onto the next career. Any tips for discernment?
Well, in the technical field, I would say even non-technical, there are a lot of opportunities all over for internships, things like that. So get out there and try a few things. Be prayerful and mindful of, where God's calling you while you're doing it, but take advantage of those opportunities while you're in college, right after college. And I would say it's not uncommon to switch, careers even partway through. I think that's been mentioned several times. I was at my first job for only a couple of years and really felt called like this is not where I'm supposed to be long term. But prayer was a big part of that, and also that willingness to be able to move or adapt where God's calling you.
Obviously, searching for a job, a lot of companies have implemented software to kind of take care of looking over resumes, and they have all kinds of new technology that can kind of filter out the keywords and whatever in your resume, and your resume may never make it to HR because of that. So what I would do, if there's a company that you find that you'd really like to work for, research them, find them at a job fair. It's they say it's who you know, and it kind of is, because in my world, networking is everything, and being able to make that face-to-face connection really goes a long way to get you to the interview and get you to that point where you can accept a job offer. But it goes beyond that. You have to be ready to continue to make relationships there, especially with your boss, be willing to learn, and always be in prayer, because God may call you to something that is temporary, and I definitely would not turn that down.
Actually, I'll add actually something. I don't have as the background that these individuals had. I mentioned I worked in higher ed for 5 years. And so in terms of discerning a job for those that are or in transition, one thing that I will add is that I have had seniors that have recently graduated call me crying because they have zero friends in their job. They've moved away from their university, a faraway city that they don't know anyone. They're no longer that athlete or student athlete that they once were, and that sports soccer that they played for 12 years. Their identity was tied into that. They don't have any friends at work because everyone's 40 plus years old, and they were 40 plus, 50 plus, and they were 22 entering the field, and they find they couldn't relate, or people, and they were just bawling their eyes out trying to, like, did I make the right decision doing this role? So I would really challenge this concept of work. Are you toiling alone, or are you toiling, or do you have others, or do you have Jesus that you can lean on? Because he's there to toil with you and be in that space. I spoke at length with the individual, and I try to encourage the community of these events that you're attending right now. Tricia mentioned earlier about this is a great first place to start. I know many of us up here will, like, and many in this room will be willing to reach out and support if you're trying to discern a job. I'll help you write your resume. I've done that for 100 college students. I'll help you do that. There's individuals up here that have a background of experience, or those at the table that are sitting amongst you. We definitely want to support you and want to see you succeed. And if they don't, you don't want to be friends with them. But no, so that would be my encouragement for discerning, finding that community, finding others, finding a deeper relationship with him. I know for some that might just, those feel like words, and how do I do that? I won't get into that, but there's a lot of others here. We can have a discussion on that as well. So one last question that I'll ask all four of you, hopefully that you can answer for me, is, what is an accomplishment that you felt God really helped you get through?
I mentioned a little bit ago, we adopted 2 children, and it was a long, difficult adoption. I was homeschooling our other children at the time, and even though I got really, really mad at God over the whole process, I know that he was there the whole way helping us through it. So that was my work for 3 years, is fighting to get our 2 little ones home. And I ended up about 8 months in the Congo, having left our children here behind, hoping that they were, you know, well taken care of by the rest of our family. So I remember coming home from the Congo. We finally brought Alima and Masale home, and I went to church the next Sunday, and I sat in church about 10 minutes, and I just got up and walked out. And I think I was just simply too angry to sit there I just couldn't sit there. So I got up and left in the middle of Mass. I'm pretty sure I haven't done that before, unless a baby was coming out. It took a little while for me to stop being stupid and figure out that God had nothing to do with the badness that goes on in the world. But that anger inside me, that idea that, okay, God, if I get to heaven, I got a lot of questions, and I feel like that every day that goes by, I think, never mind. I'm not worried about the questions anymore. I am so, so very grateful for the children. But that was an incredible period of time of difficult and hard work where I left God out of anger and out of sadness. But I'm glad that he's back.
I'll go next. So my greatest accomplishment that had everything to do with God and not with me had to be my patent. So a little background, if you have an idea and you don't want anybody else to have that, you either write the patent yourself or you go to a patent attorney and they write it. And what happens is you have to pay so much to get that filed. And then it goes off to the United States Patent and Trademark Office. It usually takes anywhere between a year, year and a half, 2 years for them to come back. And they reject as many claims as they can to try, because there's all kinds of patents out there nowadays. And the requirement is your idea has to be new and it has to be novel. In November of 2019 was when I submitted the patent application and expected to have it come back and, you know, be ready to say, okay, now we have to find the argument against what they said we couldn't have. Time went by, and of course that we all went through 2020, and we won't talk about that. But it took almost 3 years to finally hear back. But when I heard back, we got all of our claims in the first go around. That's only ever happened once in my patent attorney's career. So it's very rare. And I was like, God, that's all you, because this thing is strong. Chinese aren't going to get us now. Haha. But yeah, like as an engineer, that's a huge accomplishment. I'm very, very proud of that. And I say that as the patent is like sitting on my printer with a couple other things on top of it. So I got to find a nice display case for it. But, you know, all glory to God. I had nothing to do with it. And I'm just grateful to be along for the ride.
So any one thing, I probably have to start with my discernment to marriage as the start of seeing God work in my career. That in and of itself was probably when I had to most like fully rely on God. And that's a longer story, but so that started that to my wife. And because of her love and her support, and wanting to be close to family, probably the next, time that I saw God work in my career was transitioning jobs. After I'd been in a job in Ohio for a while, we wanted to get back to Fort Wayne. I had interviewed at two companies back to back, one on Friday, one on Monday. And the one on Monday was my second interview, which is the company I work for now. Sorry, second time I had interviewed there. So a couple years prior, I had tried to get in and hadn't. And so I was really, really hopeful to get into that company. And it was just, we were both praying for God's will to be done to allow us to get back to Fort Wayne. And that timing just worked out really well. Got a new job, bought a house, and moved and had a baby, all in the span of like 3 months. So that was pretty awesome. A little crazy, a little hectic. Don't know if I'd recommend it, but it was great. So that's probably when I've seen him work most in that career change.
I would just add, after we had our first child and we decided that I would stay home, that's what I wanted, but it was so hard. I felt like I gave up a lot of freedom and independence and a lot of who I was. I didn't have identity in anything else except for being a stay-at-home mom. So those were really challenging times. We had kind of freshly moved back to Fort Wayne from Chicago. My sister at the time had older children, and I just didn't have a support. So those were kind of long, lonely days. And God called me to Christ and Roses Parish. I'm not sure if anyone's done that, but I just met just the most awesome women that were moms that carried us through. And God just showed me my calling and my ministry of being a mom that, yeah, it was just a really hard time of just adjustment for me. I think adjustment to one is harder than adjustment to four or five, if you ask me. But anyway, that was a difficult time, but God just showed me his goodness in all of it.
Thank you all so much. Can we give a round of applause for our panelists? Awesome.